My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, February 6th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe for $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 555. I have a super special return guest that you know and love. Actor, writer, director, producer, Sujata Day. Her new film, Definition Please, is available right now on Netflix. Watch it. You'll love it. It'll be a good time. Before we get to my conversation with Sujata, just a couple things. I got a plug. I'm actually going to be doing stand-up comedy again next weekend. This weekend, February 3rd. You think I know that, right? February 12th. At the Colonial Downs Raceway and Casino in New Kent, Virginia. That's like a half an hour outside of Richmond. So I'm going to be there opening for Michael Winslow from Police Academy fame and more recently America's Got Talent. So if you're in that area and you're not scurred and you're vaxxed, come on out for the show. It'll be fun. I will try to not bomb, but I think it's going to be a fun show. I'm not going to bomb. I'm going to do my thing. One other thing. I was talking about this on the Patreon episode, and I just want to share it with you guys. I went to Bojangles today, and I had the Cajun filet biscuit or whatever it's called. It was amazing. I haven't been there in a long time, since maybe one of the last times that I was in North Carolina. And it's at least been four. I was in North Carolina in 2019, but even before then, and I remember having that biscuit being really good. Is Bojangles better than biscuit wise? Is it better than Chick-fil-A? Because I don't know. It just seems like in PG County, every Chick-fil-A that you go to, there's cars wrapped around the restaurant. And it seems like that too in Jersey. And Chick-fil-A is good. Homophobia aside, it's a good biscuit that they have. But I don't know. I don't think it stacks up to Bojangles. And then I want to raise the question, is Bojangles up there with Popeyes? Now, I know in the black community, we put Popeyes on a pedestal. Does it deserve to sit there? Probably. Nationwide. Now, I'm not talking about, I said this on Patreon. Nationwide, does it stand up to Popeyes? Now, I know it's Popeyes over everything. And I know people in Chicago will have something to say about Harold's. And I agree. I think Harold's is probably some of the best fast food chicken that I've ever had in my life. But on a national level. And then some of you from the South might even be saying Zaxby's. And then I would have to listen to your argument there, because I've only been to Zaxby's once, and that one time was pretty freaking amazing. So let me know. Tweet at me. Maybe I'll do a poll or something. But let me know, is Bojangles better than Chick-fil-A? Does Bojangles compare to Popeyes? Can Bojangles, are Bojangles' arms too short to box with Popeyes? You let me know that, and I'll be, you can email me mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com, and I will listen to you. I will read your declarations on the show. Let me know, because this is different for me, because it's been a while since I've had it. I was at Iverson Mall this morning, and I went to the Bojangles out in front of Iverson Mall. So you let me know that, folks. Okay, now on to the wonderful Sujata Day. So Sujata came back on the pod. I told her, hey, if you want to come back on the pod, talk a little bit about the movie when you, once you get distribution, hey, I'd love to have you back on. And she said yes, and I was like, let's do it. And she only had a short amount of time, so this conversation wasn't as extensive as our first conversation that we had in November of 2020, but it was a fun one nonetheless, and it was great to chat with her. Definition Please is, like I said at the top, is available right now on Netflix, won a lot of awards and on the festival circuit, and it's just a really fun movie, and she's great in it, and she did a great job directing and writing and producing and everything like that. So I hope more of you see it, because there's no excuses. 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, it's on the festival circuit. It's one of those hard to find things, but now all you got to do, in some cases, a lot of people have to do, if you have a certain type of TV, your remote might just say Netflix, and you just press Netflix and you type in Definition Please and you just hit okay, and you can watch it, and it's really good. Trust me, I wouldn't lead you astray. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with the very lovely and talented Sujata Day. I got to start off by saying congratulations on the distribution, on Definition Please being on Netflix. How does it feel?
It feels great. I mean, it really feels like it's a culmination of a ton of hard work. And honestly, folks like you who supported us from the very beginning through our film festival run and, you know, took the time to talk about the movie before it was popular to talk about the movie. Yeah. And yeah. So, you know, it's like before they were big, you're like the sure. OG Definition Please hipsters, you know?
Definitely. And I love being a hipster, but sometimes it makes me feel like a douche when it's stuff that I like and I'm really excited about it. So it's just like, it's kind of a fine line that you dance where it's like, yeah, I knew about her already. So, you know, but
also Chris, you were one of the first people to pick up on the Good Will Hunting of it all.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And since then, a few reviewers and press articles have mentioned that, just a handful. But you were the original.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah. It's fun to see like somebody that you follow, like you since Awkward Black Girl and then the stuff you've been doing. It's just like, oh, OK, I like seeing this person. I like their work. And then to see it grow. Because I knew when I saw it, I was like, yeah, this looks like something that would be on a streamer, something that people would be talking about. And I know I would check in with you every now and then. You were on maybe November of 2020, around Thanksgiving time, and we were talking. And then like maybe a few months later, hey, so what's going on? And you're like, I'm still, I was like, what?
I'm like, nothing, Chris.
I was like, what is going on?
I wish something, you know, I wish.
Yeah, and I think it's just the patience and perseverance. So I know you're a confident person, but was there ever any doubt? Was there ever any, Not necessarily a doubt in the project, but doubt with other people. Because when you have something as good as this, it's undeniable. But do you ever lose faith in the industry in a certain regard, or how did that play out for you?
I'm a big fan of just living in the moment. So something that our team handled during the film festival run was we celebrated all of our wins, and we started to get awards at film festivals, and I would get really excited about it. I would get the physical award in the mail, and then I would do a little photo shoot with it and post it. And that kept us going. We're like, oh, okay. Like, we are acquiring new fans to the film, and all these regional film festivals that we went to that were very excited about it. If we were ever to land somewhere and be able to be seen by the public. And I think it was really crucial to do our virtual film festival run, get the fans along the way. And they're the ones who are being the most vocal about it now, which is really exciting. And so, yeah, we would just celebrate. You know, we did the Austin Asian American Film Festival in May of 2021. And it was our first in-person screening, still COVID. So it was outside on a farm, and there were Texas Longhorns grazing in the background. And I just took that moment and I was like, this is amazing, and enjoy it. And just be in this for now and worry about everything else later. So we continued to do that even throughout 2021. And we continued to reach back out to people who had maybe passed on the film before, and we're like, hey, we just won this new award. You want to take another look? And it would still be, nah.
That is so weird. Cause there's some stuff that's on. Cause I take a lot of chances on these indie art house movies with, not always with the money that I'm worried about, but it's the time. And you see some of these things and you're just like, they did. All right. You know, it's just okay. And where's X? Where's the public? Where's the press for other things that are, you'd automatically think would be more worthy of these big platforms to be streaming on? Was there, so like entering into, because the last 2 years, it's corny as hell to say, but a time like no other, where things are just like so different. Is there a state of mind that you had to be in before you got into this festival circuit that you've been doing for the last couple of years for this film?
I think my state of mind that keeps me sane is that I'm always continuously working on other projects. So throughout the pandemic, yes, I was very much on the virtual film festival tour and doing all the press and the interviews, but I wrote like 3 or 4 scripts. So that keeps me sane, so that I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. I didn't want to put all my eggs in the Definition Police basket. And even if we had not been acquired by Ava DuVernay's Array and then to Netflix, we had contingency plans. We're like, all right, well, we're going to just hit the ground. We're going to self-distribute. And that's going to be the plan. And then we'll do all our own press and we'll figure it out. So there was always a plan to get it out there. We just weren't aware what it was going to be.
Sure. We talked about it the last time that you were on, just about the film and about the plot a little bit. I want to know, well, first tell everybody again, just, I guess we'll do like a redefinition, please, type deal. Maybe that's what I'll title this episode. But
Redux.
Redux. Because I remember Black Star had they had a record called Definition, and then I think on the same album they had like Redefinition, and then I'll just add please at the end of it. Whatever.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
Me being a hip hop nerd. Tell everybody what the movie is about. I kind of want to make this more fun for you. If there's anything that you can share, can you share some like audition stories that you had, like start the things that happened to you before you said, I got to write my own stuff. I really got to focus and do the things that I want to see. So not necessarily about like, oh, they made me do an accent or this is like kind of stereotypical. But were there ever any auditions that you had that were like, I bombed this? What am I doing here? Do you ever have any of those like in your career?
Oh, yeah. This was early on, I believe. And it was definitely, I was non-union. So it was not a SAG. It was a commercial audition. And I went in as the role of pregnant teen, right? Okay. And so you went in and I mean, it was the most psychotic audition I've ever done, where the direction was, okay, you're at your house and then a stork comes over your house and you have to run out of your house and you're running from the stork because the stork wants to, I don't know what it was like, wants to make you pregnant or something. It was all crazy. And so I'm there in the tape, sort of doing like a horror audition because I'm running from one corner to the other and the camera's following me. And I'm like screaming because there's like a killer stork after me. And I finished the audition and I walked out and I was like, I don't know what just happened. And I did not book that role. And I was like, is this Hollywood? Is this what I'm getting myself into?
I've had one where I bombed. It was like a Law and Order audition where I was supposed to be like a lab tech on the scene of the crime. And I was just like, no, I didn't get that one. And the casting director's, no, it's fine. I was like, no, let me do it again. It was just really weird. I was not in the right headspace for that Law and Order audition and I did not book that either.
There you go. Yeah. It's so, very strange. The past 2 years, obviously it's all been self-tape auditions.
Yes.
So you're not getting any of that, like, oh, what's happening in the room and how are they reacting to your audition? So it feels very strange to just tape in your bedroom or your living room and then send it in and then not hear anything ever again.
I got some weird ones I would work on them with my manager with the self tapes and he would be like, that sucked. I'm like, okay, well, we'll do that again. And, you know, I was able to shoot. I shot one thing, a pilot that got picked up. I had like a small part on a pilot and it was just like a one line thing. And it was just kind of one of those things that you throw away. It was like, oh, we'll see what happens. And then I got it. But then the ones that you just feel like, oh, my God, this is where I'm doing my best work as an artist. I am really. And then you just don't hear anything. And it's just like, all right. But I'm kind of used to that, though.
Yeah, I didn't have auditions for Definition Please. I don't know if you knew that.
I think you just called your friends, right?
I just texted my friends and then, or if I didn't know someone who would be good for the role, I would text them and be like, hey, do you recommend anyone? And then I would just either, I don't even think I looked at any tape or anything. I was just like, yeah, they seem good. I think they'll do a good job. But I know instinctively I'm not doing my best work during auditions. It's like you get 12 pages the day before and then you're supposed to have it perfectly acted during your tape. Right. And I also know people who give great auditions and aren't that great on set.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Wow.
So yeah, that's different. Yeah. So I mean, especially with Tesh, I just knew his body of work and I had worked with him before personally and knew we had really good chemistry. And so with him, it was just like, yeah, play this role.
What about the girl who played, is it Payal? Maya Kapoor?
Maya Kapoor is the daughter of Meera Simhan, who plays her mother in the film as well.
Oh, okay. Were they local? So they were PA or LA actors?
LA. So she was okay. LA. So I was hanging out having dinner with my friend Tanuj Chopra, who's also an awesome filmmaker. And we were at India Sweets and Spices in Atwater Village. And Meera came into the restaurant with Maya. And I was casting at the time. And this is, you know, this could happen for you too, kids. You know? You could get discovered in a South Indian restaurant in Los Angeles. And I just was staring at Maya. Uh-huh. And I was like, Mira, does Maya act? And she was like, yeah, I do play school plays and stuff and
yeah,
trying to get into it. And I was like, great. You want to read this role? And then they read it and then they liked it and they said yes.
Oh, that's awesome. So there were all, so everybody was just LA transplants in that did the film.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Most of the casting was out of LA for sure. There were a few roles like the little redheaded girl that I beat up in the movie. She's local. Okay. She's, I believe, from Ohio. So they came out from Ohio. Yes.
Got you. So what about, I want to talk briefly about some of the stuff. I think, you know, in a lot of press that you've done for this film, everyone's talking about the many hats that you wear and you do them all well. But I think a lot of people are shortchanging the acting that you're doing, because I know you say in the press that, you know, Ritesh is carrying a lot of the emotional load. And he is, and he does a great job, and it's a great performance. But after watching it again for the second time, I rewatched it on Thursday, and I actually got it playing in the background as we're talking.
Oh, yay. Give us those views.
Get them views up. And it's like I mentioned this the first time we talked. It was like the way you listen, the way that you are very present for everyone in this film, it's just really... it's really good work. And it's just like, it's kind of understated. I don't know. I just, maybe that's just a compliment and maybe it's not really a question, but I just feel like that's kind of, it's just, it doesn't seem like it's talked about that much, but I guess maybe, I don't know. What do you have to say about your good acting?
You know what? I want to shout out my improv training for that.
Okay.
Because improv comedy is all about listening and making sure you're actually hearing what the other person is saying and then reacting to that. So that's the beauty of improv, is it can be used not only in comedy, but in dramatic auditions and scenes as well. So yeah, I mean, I thank you so much for that compliment. I truly feel that it's a testament to everyone on set. You know, mm-hmm. I couldn't have given that performance without Tesh giving me what he was giving me, without Anna there giving me what she was giving me, and everybody was simply excellent. So I always take that as a compliment to the entire squad.
Right. Cool. Because I watched you in Blowing Up Right Now. And was that one of the first big roles that you had as like maybe a romantic lead? That was one of the first big roles you had?
Yeah, that was my first leading role in a movie.
And you were really great in that. And it's the same way that I felt about, you know, I've talked about this with other film nerds and friends and stuff. You think about women of color in these leading roles, or these good looking women like you, Maya Erskine in Plus One, where you just see like somebody that's like, oh, she's pretty. She's really good. She should be doing more stuff. And it's just like that thing that we talk about when we talk about the people of color being put into these roles. Do you feel like it's changing? I mean, how do you feel? Like, I mean, you're essentially at the epicenter of in LA where all this stuff is happening. Do you see more of a change now in recent years than before?
So I'll tell you a story about Blowing Up Right Now. When the director Tom and his producer reached out and they had me do a tape, and then I sent it in and they wanted to get coffee, and then I went to get coffee. And they were specifically looking for a woman of color to play this lead role. And they had reached out to the agents and managers, and the agents and managers, still 95% of the women that they sent over were white. Mm. And even when they asked for it, and I was like, okay, so it all starts like what do we fix? Right. Mm-hmm. So we got to fix, like, who are the agents and managers representing? Also, who are the agents and managers? What backgrounds are they from? And then who are the writers, right? Who's writing these feature films? Who's writing these TV shows? When you get a woman of color who's the creative force behind something, you're just going to see representation
right
across the board. And so that was an interesting thing, like a little factoid that I learned after doing Blowing Up Right Now, that they were like, hey, we like really had to pound the pavement to get submissions
right
from women of color in general. And I was shocked because I'm like, I am friends with all these amazing, funny, cool, attractive women of color that aren't even getting these shots.
Right. Right.
So that was an interesting thing. Another fun fact is the DP of Blowing Up Right Now, Brooks Ludwig, is also my DP on Definition Please.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, I really dug that. It's just sometimes you, and it's not to denigrate white Hollywood. It's not to, or when you say that Hollywood, but it's just, you know, you want something different. You want nuance. And I've said this for years, you know, people of color can always find the connected tissue to have empathy for characters, even when they don't look like them. And that's a lot of, in a lot of ways, that's how our dreams, how we become dreamers, because we saw Luke's, I saw Tom Cruise in Top Gun. I was like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I could do that one day. It didn't have to be a black guy. Would it be nice if it was? Yeah, but that sparks those dreams. So it's just kind of a bummer when they can't see things the same way.
So I think something that some of the reactions that I'm getting to Definition Please have been surprisingly so great, because it's white families in the middle of Pennsylvania, people that I grew up with, or even strangers that are empathizing with the family
right
that doesn't look like them. And that is exciting to me, because yeah, let's just create more art that is, you know, accessible to everyone, but make it really specific. I think right, that's the beauty of it. Make it specific and authentic to what you want to write, to your voice, and then allow the audience to just enjoy it.
Yeah, because it's an American story. I mean, the Definition Please is an American story as much as Garden State is, as much as Skeleton Twins is. And when you infuse that culture, then it becomes something different. It becomes something more nuanced. And then you find that universality in it. Another thing I wanted to ask before we wrap up, what kind of director are you? What kind of director are you, and how much has your career as an actor helped you in directing?
My career as an actor has helped 99% of who I am as a director. I picked my favorite two directors on Insecure that directed me, Tina Mabry and Debbie Allen. And I saw how they worked, and they were very confident. They knew exactly what they wanted, but also they were very nurturing. Mm-hmm. And even if you had one line, they would make you feel like a star on set. And I was like, oh, this is a really cool way to approach actors and direct. And so when I was on set, when I was on Definition Please, I was just like, okay, be like Debbie Allen. And that was my mantra. Just, you know, be like her, you know exactly what you want, make those decisions, be hella prepared, but also be there completely 110% for your actors, especially when they need to have a safe place to do these emotional big scenes, and they need to feel taken care of so that they can access those emotions.
Sure. And what are a couple of things that you liked about those two directors, that like more specific things that you liked that they did?
So something that Debbie Allen did was, we were doing one of the conference scenes at We Got Y'all, mm-hmm. on Insecure. And as she was talking to me and Mason and Catherine and Veronica and just like the rest of the We Got Y'all crew, and just being like, okay, so this is what the scene is about. So she's standing behind me and playing with the lock of my hair, and just kind of being very like caressing it. And I was just like, oh my God, remember this moment, you know? And of course, what's insane about that is a male director would not be able to do that.
Right, right.
But with Debbie, it felt like my mom.
Sure.
And it was such a nice, relaxing feeling. And I'm sure she was aware she was doing it, but I was like, this feels so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think some of my best directors have been women. I'm not trying to placate you or anything, but when I think about my life growing up, most of my teachers have been women. And you want to do, and as a man, when you just think about the nuts and bolts of genetics, you know, like just as a cishet black man, you want to please a woman. You want to please your teacher. You want your mother to be happy, and you want to do a good job. So if a director is, and she's a woman, and she says, hey, why don't you think about this moment before this and X, Y, and Z? And it's like, oh yeah, I should be thinking about that. And I want to make you happy. I want to do a good job. That never, I mean, I would be aware of it that she was obviously that she was a woman, but it's like, I think those internal things help too, when it's like, yeah, I want to do a good job. I want the director to like me. I want my boss to like me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Of course. You're feeling all those things.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, that's good. What's next for you? I know you're working on your next film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an ensemble comedy. I would shoot it back home in Pennsylvania again. So I'm talking to a lot of filmmaking folks back in Western PA. I'm excited to embark on that. We're in the financing / pre-production stage, so we'll definitely shoot it this year. And then I'm out pitching a couple different shows as well that actually would also shoot in Pennsylvania. So I love shooting back home.
So you're becoming the Spike Lee of Greensburg.
Or you know how M. Night Shyamalan shoots everything?
Sure.
Philly. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm gonna be the M. Night of Pittsburgh.
That's dope. That's really cool. Now, are you gonna be in this one too?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I heard Denzel talk about directing, and he said that, I guess before he did Antoine Fisher, he was debating whether or not he wanted to be in it or not. And then he said Warren Beatty told him, no, be in it so you can make sure it gets done well, and you can, it'll help more. Yeah, that's awesome. So that I will be looking forward to the next things that you do, and have to bug you to come back on.
Yeah, you don't have to bug me. I'll come back on anytime.
And I gotta write something. I really need to.
You got to write it, shoot it, put it out there.
Yeah. Well, Sujata, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for kicking it with me for a bit. And everybody, thank you for listening. And I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.
All right. Thanks so much, Chris.